On this episode of Made for This, I sit down for a conversation with one of the most connected and professionally versatile young men I know, Joel Hansen. It's episode 55. Let's do this. What? No, that wasn't. Let's do this. Oh boy.
The most valuable thing in business and for your younger years is developing a community that truly does shift the trajectory of your next 50, 60 years.
Welcome to the Made for This podcast. My name is Alex Street, and this is the place for conversations about discovering and doing what you're made for. My friends, as you search for meaning and significance and joy in this life, and really, who isn't? Well, this podcast is here to come alongside you in that journey. We want to bring you value, inspire you to action, and help you tell a better story with your life. And today we're going to do that by talking with somebody who is telling a fascinating story with his life so far. Today, I'm talking over Skype with Joel Hansen from beautiful British Columbia. Joel is the business development manager for a private equity firm out in BC. He is also a youth editor for LinkedIn. Oh, and he speaks, writes, and regularly advises companies on marketing strategies, you know, in his spare time. He's 22 years old and is making connections all over the place. Joel has learned a ton already in these roles and has a lot to teach us about setting up great habits so you can do what you're made for and reach the goals you're meant to reach. I love how freaking practical this conversation is. Joel goes a little into his story of discovery, but mostly he's got lessons learned while doing what he's made for and grinding away as a young professional. Learning his limits, learning the systems, and learning how to make connections that count. I'm sure you're gonna love it. Now, we're starting something new here this week. We're splitting our conversations in half to make the episodes shorter meals to chew on. So Joel and I chat here for a while, and then we'll take a break, and we'll invite you into the conversation later this week to finish up with all the goodness there. So let's get started, shall we? Here is part one of my conversation with Joel Hansen. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Alex?
I'm doing really, really good. It's a good Monday here, and you're snowed in. Is that right?
That's correct. We got around 30 centimeters last night, which is pretty big for BC, and all the schools are out, so just tucked away here, taking this interview.
And, okay, you said just before the interview, you went like into your backyard and went snowboarding. Is that right?
Yeah. So I had a little time before this, and I thought I'd send a fun video to my friends with a cup of coffee going down the hill on a snowboard. So that's how I started the day.
Like a mug of coffee? You're spilling it as you go?
It wasn't full when I hit the bottom, but there was some good leftover at the top.
Life in British Columbia really is everything you've thought it was.
Yeah.
Paradise. And there's palm trees. Isn't that right? Or something? Are you near the palm trees or is that?
I think in parts of the province, yeah. I think I'm more near the coniferous area, but yeah.
Coniferous. He uses the word. That's beautiful. That is absolutely the first time that the word coniferous has been on our podcast. So this is good. We're hitting a next level here. Joel, I'm so thankful that you're here, and I'm really interested to dive into your story and what you're doing. And I think that this will be a really valuable connection really valuable for our listeners to hear your story. So let's get right into it. I want to know what you're doing. What's your main work that you're bringing to the world right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my full-time role is working with a private equity firm called the Skidmore Group. And I manage their partnerships and lead their marketing for a glass company that they own here in the lower mainland of British Columbia. And so that's kind of my main focus throughout the week. That's kind of looking at developing unique partnerships, looking at how the brand can kind of integrate within the community, as well as developing kind of unique corporate relationships that push forward our brand. On the side as well, just have always been a fan of advocating and speaking on behalf of social media and the next generation of the workplace. And then also kind of balancing a role helping develop content and mentoring others through LinkedIn and through other social media means. So that's kind of a couple things that I like to have my hands in.
That's it, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get, and also. That's, I mean, that's incredible. So your main thing, you're working as a marketing kind of helping brand a glass mm-hmm. company, you said, or for this private equity firm.
Yeah.
So good. And that's like your full-time gig.
That's
kind
right.
of thing. That's, and then on the side, just for kicks, you're digging in, you're looking at advocating for the next generation specifically on social media and LinkedIn, or what, I mean, I'm really interested in how all that plays out.
So when I was in university, it kind of just became a unique challenge to see what other opportunities or ideas or side projects I could invest my time into outside of class. And so respectively, that kind of stuck with me when I graduated university and took on a full-time role to kind of still seek out these opportunities where I could invest my time or efforts in a way that could also vertically align with my skills and my work role. And so, you know, looking to equip and empower students or help other people understand social media or LinkedIn have kind of just been some of those ideas that have shaped out of that efforts.
So like these things impacted your growth journey. So you're sort of trying to bring that back and help other people learn just the same way. Is that?
Yeah.
I can summarize that? Yeah.
And I would say there's neat, you know, pockets of life and ways that you can give back outside of your work role. And that kind of kicked in when I was in university. And so when I left university, it was kind of just a means of, okay, you know, what time throughout the week or throughout the month can I give back to key initiatives or ideas or projects that I think could, you know, push other objectives forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Okay. Well, let's come back to your main work right now that you're getting involved in. And I guess even all of this, all of this working together, because it's who you are, it's what you're doing right now all together as a whole package. Like, what's the, tell me, like, direct impact that you see this kind of stuff having on people as you're helping push this company forward. And again, these connections that you're having on the side, helping people learn, grow, shape their own social media. What kind of impact do you see in any of that as you go forward with that?
Yeah, I think something really unique that our private equity firm is pursuing right now is something called the B Corp certification process. So that looks like an initiative that was started by the CEO of Patagonia to essentially have companies think in a triple bottom line manner opposed to just bottom line profits. And so
tell me about that. What does that mean?
Our company is going through a 6-month kind of application process where all the companies under the Skidmore Group, which the company I kind of help lead the initiatives for on the partnerships and marketing end, the brand's called Novus Glass. We work with the other sister companies as well as the Skidmore Group to ensure that our profits, our sustainability, and the way we treat people is in line with this application process. And so it's a really neat way just to evaluate and discern how are we developing talent? How are we tracking our carbon footprint? How are we looking at the way that we higher with diversity and inclusion. And so it's been a really neat process that's been challenging internally, but also really rewarding to see how this will change the way that we work with our partners, with our supply chain, and with our customers. I think that's one key idea that jumps to mind when you ask that question. And then secondly, it's just in a really neat phase. The Skidmore Group has actually been part of developing and partly selling over 20 international brands kind of behind the scenes. And so they've been involved in the wireless technology side of things. They've been involved in automotive glass, custom kitchens, kind of really niche industries that they've been able to scale across Canada and North America. And it'll just be exciting to kind of reverse engineer how they were able to do that in the past and how we can propel ourselves forward kind of in the disruptive markets we're seeing ourselves dive into these next couple of years.
Yeah. So just come back to the triple bottom line thing. It really just, that's a focus on more than just money.
Is yeah.
So
that's about 2,000 companies, I believe, global are certified with the B Corp status, it's called. Okay. And so I believe there's about a couple hundred within Canada, but it's been really neat for our company to pursue, as private equity is sometimes a market that isn't as seen as often in a transparent light. And so for us, it distinguishes us as a brand that our values are reflected in wanting to be, you know, transparent, wanting to be value aligned with our employees, and wanting to be sustainability focused with our future partners or acquisitions. And so for us, it's a really neat way just to position ourselves in a way that we claim our future goals to be taking us to. And so it also serves as a great compass for us to say, you know, this is where we want to be in the future. So how can we develop our partnerships and work with our community to move forward toward this?
This might take us way far off really early on, but I think I'm really curious just to get your take on this. How important is that to this next generation, your generation coming into the workforce? How important is it for companies to start thinking this way to this generation coming in and wanting to feel like they're part of something significant and having a positive impact? How important is that for companies to start thinking this way?
Yeah, I think it's largely remarkably important for companies to be considering. We've never been, I think, at a stage in a workplace where there's been this much luxury of choice, I think, for the younger generation to decide between their workplace. And yeah. So, you know, retention being one of the most expensive and costly efforts to maintain in the workplace, I think developing a key vertical alignment of significance for your employees will be almost second to none in the next 5-10 years. And we're already seeing, you know, across Canada, I believe, with our headquartered companies here, I think it'll be a tough measurement to gauge on a personal perspective. I have a good friend that usually mentions it looks different for each company. There's no best recipe for culture, for retention, and what that looks like for significance to your employees. But I think what it should be is that it should be out in the open for your job postings, for your values and your weekly stand-up meetings, and for employees coming on or being retained for the next couple of years, they should know the key couple values that are ingrained in your brand.
Yeah.
And then also the key, you know, objectives and initiatives that are stemming from your brand as a result of those values.
Wow. I think, oh man, this just clicked. I think that this could be a really valuable episode, a conversation for anybody that not only is coming into the workforce, but and to be almost encouraged that, yeah, what you're looking for is what we're all looking for. And you're not alone in that. And you're not alone in wanting to find values in that sort of in a company in that way. But then for any of us that are have a leadership role in marketing, in PR, in within a company, just recognizing how important this is, how significant just being clear on your values is to retaining your employees. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And maybe not new information, but I think it's just to have you talk about this and see this and be in a position to recognize that is really helpful. So,
and
so, yep.
Okay, if I just add, I think one more thing also to add on for if there's older listeners or younger, you probably agree with this, but I think we've also never been, you know, in a time where we can more, we cannot more quickly seek out kind of the deceitful lies and misconceptions that a brand is portraying to their, so to speak, audience or employees. And I think that almost doubles down on why you need to be so transparent and aligned with your C-suite or your manager level. And then also your best employees can be your best brand ambassadors, but also the employees that leave your brand can also be the ones that, you know, make or break the future of your hiring. And I think, no, there's never been a more important time to be trustworthy on all fronts.
That's so significant. Joel, I think we'll get more into this as the conversation goes on, but I want to dig back into your story a little bit. How do you get to the point? How old are you?
I'm 22.
22 years old. So what's been your journey then to discover that you have these strengths? Clearly you have an ability to kind of see the businesses and market working the way that it is, the ways that people work together, this ability to connect and to study and then impact those around you. Where do you discover these things? How have you discovered these things? What's really helped you along your journey to get to this point?
Yeah, great question. I think family's been a big part of that. I come from a family of seven with three older brothers that have been just some incredible mentors and just people of influence in my life. I think that's been just a key personal kind of influence growing up, in sports or even work ethic, integrity, things like that.
They didn't just like noogie you?
No. Yeah, you know, we'd have your good days and your bad days, but for the most part, you know, they were great people to look up to.
Yeah.
I think secondly, university was a key, you know, development factor. I think it sometimes gets the bad rep here and there on a Forbes article or talking to an older friend that, you know, built a couple $100 million company that dropped out of grade 12. And I think university for me was probably one of the best molders and shapers in my life, just for characteristics and for personal growth and for spiritual growth and things like that. And I'd attribute that to Trini Western. I think the most valuable thing in business and for your younger years is developing a community that truly does shift the trajectory of your next 50, 60 years, whether that's workplace, relationship, mentorship, community, and university is, I believe, one of the best resources to develop all four of those. I don't want to say networks, so to speak, but community shapers. I think network gets a bad rep, and I love using the word kind of community and relationships, as I think they are different things. And I would say and community and university have been some of the key shapers just in my development as a person.
So not so much even the academic aspect of university, although I'm sure that was something. What did you major in?
I majored in BBA, so a Bachelor of Business Administration.
Okay. But so then that's something you learn, obviously, a bunch of practical skills, I'm assuming, from that. But you're saying even the more important stuff was the community that you formed while in that space.
Yeah, because I would say not that a class has a finite, you know, life, so to speak. But when the class ends and the 3 months or 4 months is over, it's difficult to kind of re-engage that topic. But a relationship, you know, compounds year after year after year. And I think those are the things that truly shape your development as a person on a personal level, which can then influence your work. But the academic side of things also plays such an important role.
So are these, even this community, let's dig into that a little bit. What does that community look like really practically for you? Are these people that you meet with weekly? Are they people that you just know that you can call up? Are they older mentors, peers? What does that community look like for you?
Yeah, I would say there'd be three outflow kind of sections I like to refer to. That would be one would be you're being poured into. So that could be a mentor, it could be a professor, older sibling, parent. I don't know if it needs to have a time regulation, so to speak, if that's monthly or weekly, whatever, you know, jams best for you. But I would say that outflow of a mentor, someone else that's gone before you in life or her relationship, that's got to be up there for sure.
Can we time out there? I want to hear these next two, but I just want to pause on the mentor piece, because I think that's so significant. So many people are looking for that, recognize that that's a necessity.
Yeah.
But maybe don't know how or where to start that, or what that conversation even looks like. Do you have any comments on that? Mm-hmm. On just somebody is out there saying like, yeah, no, I'd love to have a mentor, someone older that's been there before me, but how, where, what does that look like? Mm. How do you start that conversation?
For sure.
How do you find a mentor?
I would say developing a relationship first before developing a mentor is important. You know, I think people want to know that you align as people, your conversation and your work have, you know, resonate in the same way. And I think that's difficult to send off on an email or a social media request right off the bat to say, hey,
right,
you know, founder of Boston Pizza, can you be my mentor? Instead of saying, hey, you know, I've read a couple of your books. Maybe you've gone for coffee. Maybe you know an executive at a firm where they've invested in you. They're invested in your alumni community. There's key, you know, similarities and mutual interests where you can see that there's buy-in previously before even starting that relationship. I think those are really neat links to make before initiating that mentorship kind of call to action, so to speak. And then if there is a kind of a good couple interactions, or you can start off with just, hey, do you have time for a quick phone call or time for a quick coffee? And after you develop a couple relationship, you know, moments, so to speak, I think then challenging them and saying, hey, is this okay if I reach back out again, or is it okay if I make a regular occurrence? And maybe not putting that mentorship label on it right away. I think some people, you know, women and men, could maybe get, sorry, that's my alarm, could get thrown off and say, hey, it's a really busy time. I don't know if I can commit to a mentorship relationship, but
right,
I could meet once a quarter. Hey, I could meet once every month for sure for a phone call or coffee. And I think, you know, not minimizing it, but simplifying it to be more so a relationship of pushing each other forward with mutual interests and mutual future goals, opposed to a, you know, structural 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month mentorship relationship, has also been really good for me.
That's awesome. I think that's really helpful. You found that people have been pretty responsive, positive as you do that, as you reach out in that relationship first kind of.
Yeah, I would say so. For me, it's been really helpful. And I think also understanding that there's something really special about someone not saying yes, because that actually reflects that they are very settled, ingrained, and also loyal to their past commitments, if that makes sense. I used to think, wow, you know, why doesn't this person have time for me? But now every time I hear that, it's a real encouragement and challenge to me to say, wow, like they're that committed to their family, or wow, they're that committed to their work. And
wow, yeah.
I think that's been a real light for me. And just when you have that, you know, response, don't say, okay, just kind of let that go, or, you know, it's a dead end, but say, hey, thanks for letting me know. Is it okay if I circle up in the summer? Is it okay if I circle up in a couple months? And kind of honoring their time and asking, hey, is there a project I can help with, instead of, you know, taking time for coffee? Can I edit any of your work? Can I, you know, support in some capacity to give you more time, opposed to having you actually invest time in me?
That's fantastic. That's super helpful. I think, yeah, that should be encouraging to anybody that's listening. I just know so many people who have said that, right? They're just that's a major thing in their life that they're looking for and don't know how or where to find it. And I think that that's some really helpful, practical, true advice that you're giving and from firsthand. I think that's great. So that's kind of one of those outlets. What did you call it? An out?
I said outflow, but
right. Who knows? Sure. Right. Okay.
You want me to
mark that? Yeah. Go. Yeah. What are the other two?
Yeah, and not sure how we are for time, but I'd say the second, you know, key crucial piece is peer accountability or mentorship. And for me, this looks like two other buddies I have of the, you know, same gender. So two great guy friends for me that just challenge me weekly. We're on a group text. We jump on the phone if something comes up, and it's just we call it a trio. And it's been a great resource just to have peer accountability and mentorship from people that are walking through the same things with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's helpful to have that outside of your significant relationship if you're dating, or outside of your mentorship relationship. And then the third outflow would be actually mentoring and investing back in younger people, younger siblings, or other parts of the community where you know you can contribute back. And I think those three kind of outflows or channels of relationships can be truly fruitful in the development of yourself.
Yeah, that's, so there's sort of this something coming in, something going kind of across to the peers, and then maybe something, whether it's down or what, I don't know if you want to look at it like that, but somewhere where you're pouring out into others.
That's correct, yeah.
We are going to leave Joel there and conclude this conversation in a couple of days on the Made For This podcast. For now, I am sure you found value in what he's brought so far, which basically is a lot about community, right? The importance of good community in your life as you're discovering and doing what you're made for, it can't be overstated. This is a theme that's come up again and again and again and again and again and again. And basically, everybody's story is about somebody who's impacted them, somebody who's helped guide them, somebody who's been there, answered questions, whatever it is. And I love how Joel, at this stage in his life, even though he's found success, he isn't arrogant enough to think that he can do any of this on his own. Because you and I both know that that can happen very easily. We find a little bit of success and we're like, oh, wow, I'm pretty good at this. I don't think I need to seek a network or a community or relationships or a mentor. Maybe I can just get through this, but actually building a team might just be the thing that is holding you back from stepping forward in your journey. So Joel encourages us to find those three outlets of community, right? Sort of that up, that across, and down. Sort of the you know, what's your source? Where do you get your inspiration from? Is it somebody above you that you can learn from? And then those peers that are next to you, sort of across, right alongside you in the journey. And then who are you pouring into? All of those communities matter so much for us in our practice and for us as we learn. Now, if you want to reach Joel online, you can find him at all the relevant links posted on the show notes for this episode, and you can find those at alexstreet.ca/madeforthispodcast/55. So that is alexstreet.ca/madeforthispodcast/55. Now, part two of this conversation will be available in just a couple of days. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so it comes right to you and you get notified on that. Joel, in the second half of this conversation, brings a bunch of practical ideas and much more learnings from his connected experiences. Plus, Joel digs in a really valuable part of the conversation. Joel digs in to just why LinkedIn is so critical to be a part of and how you can get started if you're not there yet. So until next time, go discover and do what you're made for and begin to tell a better story. See you soon.